Let's pray, Lord. Father, thank you for your love and your kindness. God, thank you for Mondays and the opportunity to wake up and start a new week. And God, I just pray that as we open your word this morning, as we speak of the workings of the Spirit, that you would help us and that you would grow us and lead us and cause us to contemplate the things of Scripture. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week we mentioned briefly the idea of saving graces from the confession. La semana pasada mencionamos brevemente la idea de déjame ver cómo se escribe en español. Virtudes salvadoras es lo que dice en español de la confesión. And so I want to go back and actually deal with that issue just for a second. Quiero regresar y tratar este asunto por un momento. I hope I can better answer your question than I did last week. Espero que puedo contestar tu respuesta mejor de lo que hice la semana pasada. So the question is, what is meant by saving graces? La pregunta es, ¿qué requiere de las virtudes salvadoras? No? And if we go to the chapter on justification, si vamos a la capítulo de justificación, so it's chapter 11, it's el capítulo 11 in our confession, de nuestra confesión. I'll read it. I'm going to read paragraph 1 and 2. Voy a leer paragrafo 1 y 2. Those whom God effectually calleth, he also freely justifieth, not by infusing righteousness to them, but by pardoning their sins and by accounting and accepting their persons as righteous, not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but for Christ's sake alone, not by imputing faith itself, the act of believing, or any other evangelical obedience to them as their righteousness. Listen, but by imputing Christ's active obedience unto the whole law and passive obedience in his death, for their whole and soul righteousness by faith, which faith they have, not of themselves, is the gift of God. Dice, a quienes Dios, justificación, capítulo 11, paragrafo 1, a quienes Dios llamó eficazmente, también justifica gratuitamente, no infundiéndoles justicia y rectitud solo, sino perdonándolos sus pecados y considerando y aceptando sus personas como justas, no por nada que hay en ellos, por hecho por ellos, sino solamente por causa de Cristo, no imputándoles la fe misma, ni la acción de creer, ni ninguna otra obediencia evangélica como justicia, sino imputándoles la obediencia activa de Cristo a toda la ley y su obediencia pasiva en su muerte para la completa y única justicia de ellos por la fe, la cual tiene no de sí mismo, es don de Dios. So, that is justification. Esa es la justificación. That is that God in Christ, Dios en Cristo, doesn't, as it says here, infuse righteousness in us. No, infundiendo justicia en nosotros. But he takes the righteousness of Christ, toma la justicia de Cristo. And it clearly lays out here, claramente lo derrama aquí, desglosa aquí. The active obedience of Christ to the whole law, la obediencia activa de Cristo de toda la ley, and the passive obedience of Christ, la obediencia pasiva de Cristo in the cross, in the cruz. And he takes that righteousness, that tomo esta justicia, and he imputes it to us. Y lo imputa a nosotros. And he counts us as righteous. Hold on, somebody's here.
Yes.
He imputes that to us. Él imputa esto a nosotros, and he makes It is though his righteousness is our righteousness. Él hace como su justicia es nuestra justicia. Now, it's very interesting, because for me, this is a great point in our confession. Para mí es un gran punto en nuestra confesión. He's saying, they're saying, ellos están diciendo, the active obedience of Christ to the whole law, la obediencia activa de Cristo a toda ley, is imputed to us in justification. Está imputado a nosotros en justificación. This creates in my mind a running theologically. Este crea en mi mente una carrera theologicamente. Because the first thing I want to know is, what about Abraham? ¿Qué hay de Abraham? He was justified by faith. Él fue justificado por fe. He believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. Él creyó y fue contado él como justicia. That's the same word as justice. Es la misma palabra de justicia. So he was justified because he believed. Él fue justificado porque creyó. But how is, are they speaking of the active obedience of Christ applied to Abraham? Ellos están hablando de la obediencia activa de Cristo aplicado a Abraham. And then the second question is, la siguiente pregunta es, what does justification do in us internally? ¿Qué hace la justificación a nosotros internamente? If you look at the paragraph 2, si miras paragrafo 2, says, faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness. Dice, la fe así recibe a Cristo y confía en él y en su justicia. We know that we're justified by faith. Sabemos que somos justificados por fe. So, it's our faith resting on all the work of Christ. It's nuestra fe descansando todo sobre la obra de Cristo that justifies us, que nos justifica. It's the work of Christ that justifies us. It's the obra de Cristo que justifica. But it's at that time when we put our faith in Christ. It's in este tiempo que ponemos nuestra fe en Cristo. We believe him. Creemos en él. We trust his work. Confiamos en su obra. That we're counted as justified. Que somos contados como justificados. So, faith thus receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness is the alone instrument of justification. Yet, it is not alone in the person justified. Dice, la fe que así recibe a Cristo y confía en él y en su justicia es el único instrumento de justificación. Sin embargo, no está sola en la persona justificada. So, the question then becomes, when somebody believes and is justified, what then happens to them? Cuando alguien cree y está justificado, ¿qué pasó con ellos? What happens in their lives? ¿Qué pasa en su vida? And the confession is saying, the confession está diciendo, they're not left alone in justification. No está dejado solos en la justificación. It says, but is ever, justification is, this is talking about justification, está hablando de justificación, is ever accompanied by all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. Dice, sino que siempre va acompañada por todas las demás virtudes salvadoras, y no es una fe muerta, sino que obra por amor. So I'm arguing, yo estoy argumentando, what they mean by saving graces has to do with sanctification. Lo que ellos quieren decir por virtudes salvadoras tiene que ver con la sanctificación. So, justification is accompanied by all other saving graces. La justificación está acompañado con todas las virtudes salvadoras in the person justified, en la persona justificada. So, the person who's justified isn't left alone in justification. La persona que es justificado no está dejado solamente en la justificación. But they will be sanctified. Van a ser sanctificados because along with justification, junto con justificación, comes the saving graces. Vienen los gracias salvadoras. So the question is, what is meant by these saving graces? La pregunta es, ¿qué quiere decir por esas gracias salvadoras? They say that worketh by love. Ellos dicen que obra por amor, and you see the scripture they give, y ves las escrituras que dan. And what they're referring to there, lo que están refiriéndose ahí, is Galatians 5:6, is Galatians 5:6. So if we look at that, si miramos a esta.
Sorry, I forgot. My Bible here. In Milton, maybe that key.
Galatians 5:6. If somebody wants to read that, si alguien quiere leer eso.
Can I request a clarification first, or would you like for me to wait on the wording of the?
Yeah, let's read this and then we'll clarify.
Galatians what?
5:6. Galatians 5:6.
Galatians 5:6.
Uh-huh.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love.
Uh-huh. So we have here what Paul is referring. Tenemos aquí lo que Pablo está refiriendo. It doesn't matter if you mortify, you cut off the flesh. No importa si cortas la carne. It doesn't matter your works in the flesh. What matters in Christ, okay, important in Cristo, is faith working by love. Fe obrando por amor. So, I'm just making the point, when they say saving grace is working by love, cuando dicen los virtudes salvadoras obrando por amor, they're speaking of sanctification. Están conectando esta sanctificación. So, they're making the connection there with sanctification. Están haciendo la conexión ahí con sanctification. Okay. A clarification in the confession. Go ahead. Is there any clarification in the confession? Desiree Barca.
So the phrase is, with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love.
Yeah.
So what I hear you saying is that you're reading it as the graces are working by love, but I'm reading it as it's the faith that's not dead, but worketh by love. And then the verse we just read also
it's
says...
faith working by love, yes. Okay. So, la pregunta is a good question.
That's right.
La pregunta es los virtudes salvadoras que trabajan por amor, or is it fe que trabaja por amor? It's faith working by love. It's fe obrando por amor. Through what? A través que? Saving graces. Gracias salvadoras. So, this faith is accompanied by all saving graces. Esta fe es acompañado por todos los virtudes salvadoras. And faith through those works in love. Y fe a través de ellos obra por amor. So, how does that work? ¿Cómo esto funciona? What then would we call saving graces? Entonces, ¿qué nosotros diramos que son gracias salvadoras? What is something you would say that is a saving grace? ¿Qué es algo que tú dirás, esa es una gracia salvadora?
Well, we mentioned the fruits of the Spirit, but the first thing that's coming to my mind right now is obedience to the law.
Okay, it's all of it. It's okay. Mencionamos el fruto del Espíritu, obediencia a la ley. It's all of the, I think we can use the term here, creo que podemos utilizar el término aquí, the means of grace that God's given us. Los medios de gracia que Dios nos ha dado. The word of God, la palabra de Dios, prayer, oración, the church, la iglesia. And, you see Hebrews, do not neglect to meet together. No niegues a juntarse. As is some habit of some, como es el hábito de unos. But, strive with one another in love and encouragement. Lucha uno con otro con amor y ánimo. To build one another up. A edificar uno otro. And so I think that's what they mean by saving graces. Creo que es lo que quieren decir por gracias salvadoras. But what I think they want us to see here in this second paragraph, lo que creo que quieren que vemos en este segundo paragrafo, is faith isn't left alone. Fe no está dejado solo. So, Abraham believed God and he was justified. Abraham creyó en Dios y fue justificado. But he wasn't left just with justification. No estaba dejado solo con justificación. the Spirit is working in him for sanctification. El Espíritu está trabajando en él por sanctificación. So, let me try to get there. Déjame tratar de llegar ahí. If you look at paragraph 6, and I'm just mentioning this because it's an interesting paragraph. Si miras paragrafo 6, si solo estoy mencionando esto, que es un paragrafo interesante. The justification of believers under the Old Testament was, in all these respects, one and the same with justification of believers in the New Testament. La justificación de los creyentes bajo el Antiguo Testamento fue, en todos esos sentidos, una y la misma que la justificación de los creyentes en el Nuevo Testamento. So when we read, faith is not left alone, cuando leemos, la fe no está dejado solo. The faith is not left alone. La fe no está dejado solo. But is accompanied by all these saving graces. Pero está acompañado de todos los virtudes salvadoras. We are also to understand, también debemos entender, that their intention in the confession, su intención en la confesión, is that is the same for the saints in the Old Testament. Es el mismo por los santos en el Antiguo Testamento. Now, this is very interesting. We did in Sunday school. It's muy interesante. Hicimos en escuela dominical. The Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation, the orden de salvación. And, in our confession, we have what we would say is kind of an order of salvation. Decimos que es, en nuestra confesión, un tipo orden de salvación. So you have justification, the very next chapter, the siguiente capítulo, which I struggle with, que yo lucho con, I have a tendency to want to put adoption before justification. Yo tal vez quiero poner adopción antes de justificación, but it's not possible. Pero no es posible. And they make, it's very clear, it's muy claro. But if you go to the next chapter, chapter 12, si vas a capítulo 12, and the first thing it says, primera cosa que dice, all those that are justified, dice, a todos aquellos que son justificados. So, everyone that's justified says, God vouchsafed in and for the sake of his son, only son, Jesus Christ, to make partakers of the grace of adoption. Dice, a todos aquellos que son justificados, Dios es digno en su único Hijo, Jesucristo, y por amor de este, hacerles partícipes de la gracia de la adopción. So, everyone who's justified is also adopted. Todos los que son justificados son adoptados, ¿no? So, you can't say someone's justified and not adopted. No puedes decir que alguien es justificado y no adoptado. But everyone who's justified, todos que son justificados, are also adopted. También son adoptados. It says, by which they are taken into the number and enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God. Have his name put upon them, receive the spirit of adoption, have access to the throne of grace with boldness, are enabled to cry, Abba, Father, are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by him as by a father, yet never cast off, but sealed to the day of redemption, and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. Dice, por lo cual son incluidos en el número de los hijos de Dios y gozan de sus libertades y privilegios, tienen su nombre escrito sobre ellos, recibe el espíritu de adopción, tiene acceso al trono de la gracia con confianza, reciben capacitación para clamar Abba Padre, reciben compasión, protección, provisión y corrección, como por parte de un padre. Nunca son desechados, sino que son sellados por el día de la redención y hereden las promesas como herederos de la salvación eterna. So, I think they're referring to, they're adopted. Creo que están refiriendo, son adoptados, and God works in them. y Dios obra en ellos to discipline, a disciplinar, to grow, a crecer. They receive the spirit of adoption, receive the spirit of adoption. They receive the seal, receiving the seal. They're written on his hand. Están escritos en su mano. Any questions up to this point? Unas preguntas hasta este punto. Christine, if you have a question, you have to write it. Christine, si tienes una pregunta, tienes que escribirlo. If you just let me know you're writing, then I'll wait. Si solo me dices que estás escribiendo, yo me espero. Or you can raise your hand as well in the Zoom meeting. Puedes levantar también tu mano en la junta de Zoom. So, the ones who are justified, los que son justificados, it's not left alone, no está dejado solo, but they're given these saving graces, pero están dado estas gracias salvadoras. And they're adopted. Son adoptados, and they receive the spirit of adoption, receiving the spirit of adoption. And now we get to sanctification once again. Llegamos a sanctificación de nuevo, chapter 13, capítulo 13. They who are united to Christ, effectually called and regenerated, having a new heart and a new spirit created in them through the virtue of Christ's death and resurrection. Dice, aquellos que están unidos a Cristo son llamados eficazmente regenerados, teniendo un nuevo corazón y un nuevo espíritu creado en ellos en virtud de la muerte y la resurrección de Cristo. What they're restating there, lo que están reponiendo ahí, is the doctrine of justification and adoption. Effectual calling, justification, and adoption is the doctrina de la llamado efectual, justificación y adopción. So they're restating what they've already said in these three chapters. Están rediciendo lo que ellos acaban de decir en estos tres capítulos. Says, are also farther sanctified really and personally through the same virtue by his word and spirit dwelling in them. The dominion of the whole body of sin is destroyed, and the several lusts thereof are more and more weakened and mortified, and they are more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving graces, to the practice of all true holiness, without which no man may see the Lord. Dice, por su son aún más sanctificados de un modo real y personal mediante la misma virtud por su palabra, espíritu que mora en ellos. El dominio del cuerpo entero del pecado es destruido y las diversas concupiscencias del mismo se van debilitando y mortificando más y más y se van vivificando y fortaleciendo más y más en todas las virtudes salvadoras para la práctica de toda verdadera santidad, sin la cual nadie verá el Señor. So we see here, vemos aquí, that the ones who are justified, los que son justificados, are adopted, son adoptados, and they're sanctified, y son sanctificados. And we see here in sanctification, vemos otra vez en sanctificación, this phrase, esta frase, saving graces, los virtudes salvadoras. And so I think what it's referring to, lo que está refiriendo, is the work in sanctification, la obra en sanctificación, faith working itself out in love, la fe, obrando en amor through the means of grace, a través de los medios de gracia. So is that helpful, Desiree?
Yeah, and in that first paragraph of chapter 12, it says to make partakers of the grace of adoption. So you think they're calling that adoption also a saving grace?
Yeah, the grace of adoption, that it's a gracious act of God to adopt us.
Yeah, that's Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to make the point, these graces, they're not looking at that in the sense of saving us in justification. Estas gracias no están mirando esta como en justificación de justificarnos en salvación, but to sanctify us, a sanctificarlos. So that is what's meant by saving graces in the confession. Eso es lo que significa los gracias salvadoras en la confesión.
Would that be related to, I think it's Paul who uses the phrase that like we are being saved.
Yes.
And I have not attained to the resurrection. Is that kind of related?
Yes.
To
what we're talking about? Yes. So, como Pablo no ha llegado a la resurrección, dicho que estamos siendo salvos. So, I was saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. No, era salvo, estoy siendo salvo y será salvo. That's what it's referring to. I am justified. Soy justificado. I am not glorified. No soy glorificado. And I'm not sanctified. Y no soy sanctificado. I'm being sanctified. Estoy siendo sanctificado. So, I think it's very, very interesting, the language that they use in the confession. Creo que es muy interesante que, el idioma que ellos usan en la confesión. I just want to make the point, solo quiero hacer el punto. Sanctification happens through the work of the Spirit. Sanctification obra pasa por obra del Espíritu Santo. They're definitely making that point. Definitivamente están haciendo ese punto that it is a work of the Spirit. Es una obra del Espíritu that we're given in adoption. Que estamos dado en adopción. We're given the Spirit of adoption is what they said. Estamos dado el Espíritu de adopción que dijeron. And in that, y en eso, we're not left in by faith alone. No estamos dejado solo por la fe, but the Spirit working in us, the Spirit trabajando en nosotros, is growing our faith, creciendo nuestra fe, disciplining us, disciplinándonos, and sanctifying us, sanctificándonos. Anybody have any questions? ¿Alguien tiene preguntas? Silence. Silencio. Okay, well then we will continue. Entonces seguiremos with the question. The pregunta, what is meant by having the Holy Spirit? ¿Qué quiere decir a tener el Espíritu Santo? So I just want us to know, solo quiero que sepamos, it's the Spirit's work in us that sanctifies us. It's the obra del Espíritu en nosotros que nos sanctifica. So, we ended last week with there's communion with God. Terminamos la semana pasada con hay comunión con Dios. So, the Spirit dwelling in us, the Espíritu habito en nosotros, makes it that we have communion with God. Hace que tenemos comunión con Dios. Right? So, number cuatro, there is fellowship with God and the indwelling Spirit. There's not a difference in Spanish, no hay diferencia en español. Koinonia is the palabra in griego. Fellowship and communion, I guess they're heavily related. Comunión y koinonia son muy relacionados. But look at 1 John chapter 1. Mira primero de Juan, capítulo 1. If somebody wants to read verse 3, it can be somebody online even. Si alguien quiere leer versículo 3, aún puede ser en línea. 1 John 1, 3, primero de Juan, 1, 3. I'll read it. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Lo que hemos visto y oído, eso os anunciamos, para que también vosotros tengáis comunión con nosotros, y nuestra comunión verdaderamente es con el Padre y con su Hijo Jesucristo. So, You see there, with the Spirit, we have communion with God, the Father, the Son, and obviously the Spirit. Vemos que con el Espíritu tenemos comunión. Dios el Padre, el Hijo, y obvio el Espíritu. Where does our fellowship with God happen? ¿Dónde nuestra comunión con Dios pasa? So we live in a society, vivimos en una sociedad, that says fellowship with God or communion with God happens in your closet and a feeling. Vivimos en una sociedad cristiana que dice comunión or si comunión con Dios pasa en tu closet en una sensación con Dios. So if I feel a certain way, I have communion. So yo me siento una forma, yo tengo comunión. But where does it happen? ¿Dónde pasa? Look at John 14:23. Mira Juan 14:23. I don't want to give you the answer. I want you to learn it. No quiero darte la respuesta. Quiero que lo aprendan.
I'm guessing obedience.
Ah, you're right. It is in his razón, desire de obediencia. So John 14:23. Juan 14:23, he says, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Juan 14, and versículo 24, Juan 14:24 dice, 23, perdón, 14:23 dice, respondió Jesús y dijo, el que me ama, me palabra guardará, y mi Padre le amará, y vendremos a él, y haremos morado con él. So, where does our communion with, or fellowship with the Lord happen? ¿Dónde pasa nuestra comunión con el Señor? We keep his word, guardando su palabra. So, in obedience, evidencia. One more in 1 John chapter 5, uno más in 1 Juan, capítulo 5. 1 John, chapter 5, 1 Juan, capítulo 5. And verses 5 through 7. 1 Juan, 5, 5 al 7. ¿Someone will read that? ¿Alguien quiere leerlo?
Verses
1 John 5 through 7.
Okay. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Dice, y este es el mensaje que hemos oído de él, y os anunciamos Dios es luz, y no hay ninguna tinieblas en él. Si decimos que tenemos comunión con él, y andamos en tinieblas, mentimos, y no practicamos la verdad. Pero si andamos en luz, como él está en luz, tenemos comunión unos con otros y la sangre de Jesucristo, su Hijo, nos limpia de todo pecado. So, once again, where is fellowship with God? Una vez más, ¿dónde está comunión con Dios?
Walking in the
truth. Walking in the truth, andando en la verdad. Obedience to him, obediencia a él. So, in the Spirit, we have fellowship with God. In the Spirit, tenemos comunión con Dios. Now, how do we walk in obedience? ¿Cómo andamos en obediencia? So, if we go back to our confession, si regresamos a nuestra confesión, it says, dice, are also farther sanctified really and personally through the same virtue. ¿no? Dice, son aún más sanctificados de modo real y personal mediante el mismo virtud. So, through the virtue of the work of Christ, a través de la virtud de la obra de Cristo, we are, Christian, we are in chapter 13 on sanctification. Estamos en capítulo 13 de sanctificación. It says that we are really and personally sanctified. Dice, somos realmente y personalmente sanctificados by the same virtue of the work of Christ. De la misma virtud de la obra de Cristo. But how does that work out? ¿Cómo esto funciona? It says here, dice aquí, by his word and his spirit dwelling in them. Dice, por su palabra y el espíritu que mora en ellos. It's the word and the spirit working in us. It's the obra del espíritu trabajando en nosotros that brings about sanctification. Que nos trae a sanctificación. So, how does sanctification come about in our lives? ¿Cómo viene la sanctificación en nuestra vida? Romanos 8:13. If you live according to the flesh, you die. Si vives de acuerdo con la carne, morirás. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, si no por el Espíritu mortificas los hechos de la carne, you will live, vivirás. What's the difference? ¿Cuál es la diferencia? One is living according to the flesh, uno es viviendo de acuerdo con la carne, and one is living according to the Spirit. It's the whole point of that first part in chapter 8 of Romans. Todo punto de primer parte de capítulo 8 en Romanos. If you go there, it's a good point. Si vamos ahí, es un buen punto. In Romans 8, in Romanos 8. You start looking in, starting in verse 2, empezando in versículo 2. Of Romans chapter 8, de Romanos capítulo 8, says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Dice, porque la ley del Espíritu de la vida en Cristo Jesús me ha librado de la ley del pecado y de la muerte. What law of the Spirit and what law of the flesh is he talking about there? ¿Qué ley de la Spirit y qué ley de la carne está hablando ahí? It's from chapter 7. Es de capítulo 7. So, I was dead. Yo era muerto. The law came alive and I died. La ley vino y yo morí. What law is he talking about? ¿Qué ley está hablando?
The law of Moses.
The law, the moral law of God that accused him. La ley moral de Dios que lo acusó. And the idea of trying to justify myself by living up to the law. Y la idea de tratar de justificarme por cumpliendo la ley. He says, but now we live in the new law of the Spirit. But he said, ahora vivimos en nuevo ley de espíritu. What does he mean by that? ¿Qué quiere decir eso? We have a spirit, the spirit dwelling in us. Tenemos el espíritu que habita en nosotros. And now we don't try to live to the law for justification. Nosotros no tratamos a vivir la ley por justificación, but we live to the law in obedience and pleasure. Pero vivimos a la ley, obediencia y placer. Look at verse 5, mira versículo 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their things on the minds of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. Dice el versículo 5. Pero porque los que... verse 4. We skipped verse 3 and 4. Brincamos versículo 3 y 4. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, and in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Dice en versículos 3 y 4, porque lo que era imposible para la ley, por cuanto era débil por la carne, Dios enviando a su Hijo, en semejanza de la carne de pecado, y a causa del pecado, condenó al pecado en la carne, para que la justicia de la ley se cumpliese en nosotros, que no andamos conforme a la carne, sino conforme al Espíritu. So you have this division here. We don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No andamos de acuerdo con la carne, pero acuerdo con el Espíritu. What does that mean? ¿Qué quiere decir esto?
Which do we
want
the Spirit?
Right.
In general,
we're not trying to be justified by doing things in the flesh. No estamos tratando de justificarnos por haciendo cosas en la carne. Right? No, no. We're trusting in the justification of Christ. Estamos confiando en la justificación de Cristo. And we're walking according to the Spirit's direction. Estamos andando de acuerdo con la dirección del Espíritu. How does the Spirit direct us? ¿Cómo el Espíritu nos dirige? By the Word of God, por la obra, la palabra de Dios. So, we walk in the freedom of the Spirit. Nosotros andamos en la libertad del Espíritu, right? So, Paul says in verse 1 there is no condemnation for the ones who are in Christ Jesus. Probably saying, in versículo 1, no hay condenación a los que están en Cristo Jesús. Why is there no condemnation? ¿Qué no hay condenación? Because we said, who can rescue me from this body of death? Decimos, ¿quién me puede rescatar de este cuerpo de muerto? Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Gracias a Dios en Cristo Jesús. So I'm free from the burden of the law. Estoy libre de la carga de la ley. But I walk in obedience to the law and the Spirit, but yo ando en obediencia a la ley en el Espíritu. So you see a difference here in a division. ¿Ves una diferencia aquí en una división? We don't live in the flesh trying to trust our flesh for justification. No vivimos en la carne tratando a confiar en nuestra carne por justificación. No, no. We walk in the Spirit. Andamos en el Espíritu. In obedience to the law, in obedience to the ley, but with a different relationship to the law. Pero otra relación con la ley, right? We're not trying to appease God by our actions. No estamos tratando a complacer a Dios con nuestras acciones. We're trusting in the seal of the Holy Spirit to take us. Estamos confiando en el sello del Espíritu Santo a llevarnos. So Paul makes a distinction here. Walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit. Pablo hace una distinción aquí, andando por la carne y andando por el Espíritu. In versículo 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Dice, porque el ocuparse de la carne es la muerte, pero el ocuparse en Espíritu es vida y paz. Christine said something. Let me read it. She says, out of love, not to gain by works, but love. That's right. So we don't do what we do to gain the favor of God. No hacemos lo que hacemos para ganar el favor de Dios. No, no. We do what we do expressing our love toward Him for what He's done for us. Hacemos lo que hacemos para expresar nuestro amor a Él por lo que Él ha hecho por nosotros. Does that make sense? ¿Tiene sentido? You may have any questions up to this point. ¿Alguien tiene pregunta hasta este punto? So it's very clear there. It's muy claro ahí. To walk in the Spirit is life and peace. Andar en el Espíritu is vida y paz. I remember I was in seminary, or recuerdo estaba en seminario, and I had this really strange professor, tuvo un profesor extremadamente raro. And he believed in monasticism, el creyó en monasticismo, that you should graduate from seminary, debías graduar de seminario, and go live in a monastery for several years, ir a vivir en un monasterio de varios años to prepare yourself for ministry, para prepararte para ministerio. And he said, for instance, I, with my wife, am going for 3 months this summer. Yo con mi esposa voy 3 meses este de tiempo de vacaciones to live in a monastery, a vivir en un monasterio, to find peace, para encontrar paz. And I raised my hand, yo levanté mi mano, and I said, well, Romans says that life and peace is found in spirit. Romanos dice que vida y paz se encuentran en el espíritu. And he was so angry. Estaba tan enojado y yelled at me. Me gritó in the middle of class, in the middle of class. You don't say that. No, he says that. I said, well, I didn't. The word matter. Yo no dice. La palabra de Dios dice. But I think we lose our minds there. Creo que perdemos nuestras mentes ahí. When the scripture is clear. The scripture is clear. Only in the spirit can we have peace. Solo en el espíritu podemos tener paz. Life in the spirit is where there is peace. Vida en el espíritu es donde hay paz. And he says in verse 7, dice en versículo 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Por cuanto los designios de la carne son enemistad contra Dios, porque no sujetan la ley de Dios y ni tampoco pueden, y los que viven según la carne no pueden agradar a Dios. So what do we need in order to please God? ¿Qué necesitamos para agradar a Dios? So Paul makes this whole argument here. Pablo hace todo este argumento aquí. Flesh and spirit. Carne y espíritu. What spirit is he talking about? ¿Qué espíritu está hablando?
Well, it's capitalized in English, so the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, Espíritu Santo, right? It's also in Spanish. You have an ESV with you. Christine, is your version capitalized in the Spirit there? Look at verse 6. Yes, Romans 8:6. It's not capitalized in the Greek, just normal. Yes, it is capitalized in the King James as well. Sí, es mayúsculo en Reina Valera también. That is the right translation. Is the traducción correcta? It's speaking of the Holy Spirit. So we're speaking of, living according without the Spirit and with the Spirit. Estamos hablando de vivir sin el Espíritu y con el Espíritu. So in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Los que están en la carne no pueden agradar a Dios. So let me make a practical application of this. Déjame hacer una aplicación práctica de esto. Does it please God when someone repents and believes the gospel? ¿Agrada a Dios cuando alguien se arrepiente y cree en Evangelio?
Yes.
Right? Sí. The angels in heaven rejoice. Los ángeles en los cielos regocen. So then what, by deduction, is necessary for someone to believe? Entonces, ¿qué por necesario? Deducción necesario es requerido para que alguien crea. if believing pleases the Lord, si creyendo agrada al Señor, what do you need? ¿Qué necesitas?
Faith.
Fe, and how do you get faith according to Romans 8:8? ¿Y cómo tener fe de acuerdo con Romanos 8:8? It must be a work of the Spirit for men to believe. Debe ser una obra del Espíritu para que los hombres creen. If believing is pleasing to God, si creyendo is agradable a Dios, without the Spirit, you cannot please God. Sin Espíritu, no puedes agradar a Dios. So, without someone in the flesh, cannot please God. Alguien en la carne, no puede agradar a Dios. And Paul's whole point here is life in the flesh and life in the Spirit. The punto de Pablo aquí es la vida en la carne and vida espiritual. The whole point that Paul comes to out of Romans 7, en todo punto que Pablo viene de Romanos 7, I was striving in my flesh. Estaba luchando en mi carne. And I'm still striving. Todavía estoy luchando. But I'm not striving like I was. Pero no estoy luchando como era antes. Because who can rescue me from this body of filth? ¿Quién me puede rescatar de este cuerpo de muerto? Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. So, if you look in Romans 7, I think it's verse 6. Si miras en Romanos 7, creo que es versículo 6. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Dice en Romanos 7, 6. Dice, pero ahora estamos libres de la ley por haber muerto para aquella en que estamos sujetos, de modo que sirvamos bajo el régimen nuevo del Espíritu y no bajo el régimen viejo de la letra. So, we don't serve like we did in the flesh. No servimos como antes en la carne. In verse 4, in versículo 4, Romans 7, Romanos 7. Likewise, my brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Dice, así también vosotros, hermanos míos, habéis muerto a la ley mediante el cuerpo de Cristo, para que seáis de otro, del que resucitó de los muertos, a fin de que llevamos fruto para Dios. So, we've died to the flesh. Estamos muertos a la carne. That's what Paul says. It's not me who does it. No soy yo quien lo hago. And we're alive to God in the Spirit. Estamos vivos a Dios en el Espíritu. So, point being, punto haciendo, the Spirit is necessary that we please God. El Espíritu es necesario que agradamos a Dios. We cannot please God without the Spirit. No podemos agradar a Dios sin Espíritu. Because someone in the flesh cannot please God. Alguien en la carne no puede agradar a Dios. So, it's necessary that we have the Spirit. Es necesario que tenemos el Espíritu. But it's in sanctification. In sanctification, it's necessary that the Spirit sanctifies us. Es necesario que el Espíritu sanctifique a nosotros. So, we need to understand the sovereignty of God to work in our sanctification. Necesitamos entender la soberanía de Dios a obrar en nuestra sanctificación and the role of the Spirit to bring about that communion. Y el rol del Espíritu Santo a traer esa comunión. And so, when we look at verses like Philippians chapter 1, cuando vemos versículos como Filipenses capítulo 1, I'm sure of this, estoy seguro de esto, he who began a good work in you, él quien empezó la buena obra en ti, will bring it to completion of the day of Christ Jesus. Lo trae a la fin, a completion, en el día de Jesús. It's God who works in us both to will and to want. Es Dios quien trabaja en nosotros lo, el querer y hacer. No, so it's the Spirit working in us to bring those things about. It's a spiritual obrando en estas cosas para traer estas cosas. So, then we come to Romans 8:13. Llegamos a Romanos 8:13. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. Si vives de acuerdo con el Espíritu, morirás. What does he mean by die? ¿Qué quiere decir morir ahí? Is he speaking of our physical death? ¿Está hablando que nuestra muerte es físico?
No.
No. He's not. No, no, it's not. What does he mean, you will die? ¿Qué quiere decir, vas a morir? The wages of sin is death, he's already said. El pago por pecado es la muerte, había dicho. What does he mean by death? ¿Qué quiere decir la muerte? A spiritual death. For eternity. Una muerte eterna, muerte eterna, ¿no? Is he then giving a warning to Christians? ¿Está dando una advertencia a cristianos? No.
Well, hold on. Christians who think they are people who think they're Christians, but they're not Christians.
Right. Gente que creen que son cristianos, pero no son cristianos. Yes. There's a warning there. I advertise that they're not Christian. No son cristianos. They're still in the flesh. Todavía está en la carne. So he's saying, if you're trusting your flesh in sanctification, si estás confiando en tu carne en sanctificación, you're going to die.
Okay.
Or if you're trusting in your flesh for justification, right? Si estás confiando en tu carne en sanctificación. Okay, go ahead.
I disagree with your flesh, what you're saying is in your flesh.
Okay. Desiree está desacuerdo con lo que estoy diciendo desde carne. Why?
Because, so the first part of Romans 8, so this is kind of irrelevant, but the what I'll say is that I've always understood it to be, that in the flesh to be, when you're focusing on the flesh, like what your flesh, what your sinful flesh desires. But what's important is the verse that I just saw in 7:5, that in the ESV says, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law. So the way that the commas, the way the sentence is arranged with the comma after flesh and passions, it seems to indicate that it is specified when it says living in the flesh, comma, our sinful passions, that sinful passions is what he means by the flesh.
Yeah, yes, but he's saying we were alive in them.
We were living in the flesh.
Yeah, we were living in the flesh, and then he gives a description.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing he does in Ephesians.
Okay.
You were walking in the desires of your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
So then the whole struggle comes, do we still do that?
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes we do. But he says, but that's not my life. Because I died, and now I'm alive in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that no longer has dominion over me. So that's not me. And so in Romans 8, he's giving, especially in verse 3, God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. So what he's talking about there is there's no possible way you could justify yourself by doing these things. Does that make sense? No.
Okay.
No, but let's do this. So he's saying in the verse you just read, we were alive in the flesh. Past tense. When we
were living in the flesh, comma, our sinful passion.
Uh-huh. So he does the exact same thing in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. He does the exact same, uses the same idea. Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, and then the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So when he uses the phrase, the passions of our flesh,
mm-hmm.
he's referring to being dead in our sins.
Right. And when someone is dead in their sins, they walk in their flesh. And what I understand from Ephesians 2:3 and from Romans 7:5, is that when he's using that phrase in the flesh, he's talking about pursuing sinful desires.
He's speaking about being dead. He's talking about someone who's a Christian and not a Christian.
Right, I agree. He's talking about a person who's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, in reading these verses, it seems he's saying in the flesh means sinful passions, following sinful passions.
Yes, as our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
The life we live
yeah.
in sinful passions. So if you look at Romans 8 once again in verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking about a Christian then.
I know, I agree. My disagreement with you is that I hear you saying that when he's saying in chapter 8 in the flesh, that he's saying you're trying to justify yourself and live according to the law by your flesh.
Yeah, so... For Paul, it's all encompassed. So he's saying, in your flesh, without the Spirit, you're carrying out these evil desires, these evil passions, right? But in that state, we try to live according to the law for justification. So you take Matthew 7, right? These people are living in the flesh, their evil desires.
Mm-hmm.
And they're standing before God and they say, no, God, look at us. Look at what we've done. No, you're walking in the, you're a worker of lawlessness, right? But they're walking in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Paul, this idea of living in the flesh is you're not walking in the Spirit, right? And you're walking in the evilness of your own heart, right? Even though you think you're trying to live up to the law, you're not, because it's impossible. So his whole point there is, it's impossible for someone to submit to God's law, because you can't. That's why verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what he's saying there, you need the Spirit to do a work of regeneration in your life, to fill you and to sanctify you, because you walk in the evilness of your own desires, you can't obey the law of God. Does that make sense? So I think for Paul, the fleshly idea is, you see it in Galatians as well. They're trying to mutilate you, right? They're taking something that, and they're implying it, that you can get justification through a fleshly thing. But the flesh is evil. There's no way to satisfy or please God in the flesh. You need a work of regeneration. Abraham believed and was justified. And that's the same thing he does in Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed and was justified. So for Paul, this idea of flesh, it's a complex idea of evil desires and a fulfilling of the law in our walking in it.
Okay, I just don't, which is fine, but I just don't see that. I just don't see him using it in that sense in the beginning of Romans 8.
So it came just after Romans 6. Where he makes the clear distinction there. What should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, where Jesus were baptized into his death, we were buried therefore with him in baptism and death, in order that we, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united in the resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So what he's saying there is, we're justified by the death of Christ, not in ourselves. And so you have this idea of Paul making the point to the Romans, it's not in our flesh that we're saved, but it's in the death of Christ. Then he comes to chapter 7, and you have his illustration of marriage, showing that Christ died and rose. He can't die again. The one who is in him is alive to him and can't trust the flesh for life. And then he goes into this whole thing. I want to do what's right. I'm striving to do what's right. And his whole point there is, it's not me who does it right, but the Spirit in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have this all-encompassing idea of the flesh. And so if we take Paul as an example, Paul says, when I lived according to the flesh, who is Paul according to the flesh?
A
Pharisee of Pharisees. And he was striving to kill the church. You know, he boasts, you know, if anybody lived according to the law, it was me, you know. But yet he calls that evil desires.
Wait, where did you just put from? When I lived according to the flesh?
So out of Philippians.
Okay. Because that seems helpful.
So, though I myself, Philippians 3:4, though I myself have reason to confidence in the flesh also. Again, this idea of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
And living up to it, I was obedient. Right? As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Right? But whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss. Just saying, all of that was lost. So we take that idea and we put it in Romans 7, and Paul says, I was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. So he saw himself as blameless according to the law before the work of regeneration. Does that make sense? So when we take that and to what Paul, because Paul's in Romans 7 is having this battle within himself. So you have flesh and spirit. And what he means by the flesh is evil desires and living up to the, trying to justify ourselves according to the law. And that's the warning here. You live according to the flesh and you'll die. Right? You don't depend on the Spirit's work in your life. And you'll die. Right? And so he's making the point here. You can't be sanctified. No puede ser sanctificado. Estás haciendo Pablo el punto aquí. Without the Spirit in us. Sin espíritu en nosotros. So life according to the flesh is death. La vida de acuerdo con la carne es muerte. And that life is defined as a life without the Spirit. Y esta vida está definido como la vida sin el espíritu. And life in the spirit is life and peace. Y la vida en el espíritu es vida y paz. And that's by how we live. It's just como vivimos. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live publicly. Yo soy crucificado con Cristo. No más vivo yo, but Christ lives in me. Pero Cristo vive en mí. And the works I now do in the flesh, the obras que ahora hago en la carne, I do. And what? Yo hago en qué? Not I who do them, but Christ who does them through me. No soy yo quien lo hago, pero Cristo lo hago a través de mí. What does he mean? Is Christ doing them through me? ¿Qué quiere decir Cristo haciendo estos a través de mí? through the Holy Spirit, after this Spirit Santo. It's the same thing he's speaking of here in Romans 8. It's the misma cosa que está hablando aquí en Romanos 8, that it is the work of the Spirit, it's the obra del Espíritu Santo in us, in nosotros, to bring about this sanctification, a traer esta sanctificación. So when we speak of communion with God, cuando hablamos de comunión con Dios, the warning, do not quench the Spirit, la advertencia, no contristes Espíritu. So it's talking about when we're not obedient to God, cuando no somos obedientes a Dios, there's a break in that communion. Hay una fractura en esta comunión, not in justification, no in justification. We don't lose justification, no perdimos justification. But there's a break in the intimacy that we have with God. Pero hay una fractura con la intimacía que tenemos con Dios. But we trust the work of the Spirit, confiamos en el obra del Espíritu Santo, like our confession said, como nuestra confesión dijo, that he will chastise us, que él nos va a disciplinar, to bring us back, a traernos de regreso, Hebrews, he disciplines those he loves, in Hebreos, él disciplina los que él ama. So, the point being, el punto siendo, the Spirit is necessary for life in Christ. El Espíritu es necesario por vida en Cristo, and it's only in the Spirit that we have that communion. Solo es en el Espíritu que tenemos esa comunión. I love verse 8 there in Romans 8. Me encanta Romanos 8:8. The one who's in the flesh cannot please God. El quien está en la carne no puede agradar a Dios. And the implication there is the one in the Spirit pleases God. La implicación ahí es el quien está en el Espíritu agrada a Dios. So the Spirit is necessary for that communion. El Espíritu es necesario for us to commune. Anybody else have any other questions? Or do you have any more questions? I don't know if that was helpful. No sé si esto fue de ayuda. I think the idea of the flesh there, prayer, the idea of the carne, Paul, for Pablo, we understand it in both ideas. Entendemos en los dos ideas. Especially him dealing with the Judaizers, especialmente él, tratando los judíos antes. So, he's referring to them in the flesh as trusting in the flesh. Él está refiriendo a ellos en la carne como confiando en la carne. And yet he also uses the flesh to speak about the sinfulness of our flesh. Pero también usa la palabra carne hablar de la pecaminosidad de nuestra carne. Throughout his letters, Christine wrote something. Not sure if I'll communicate this well, but why is Romans 7:6 newness of spirit not capitalized spirit? Romans 7:6. I'll see what it says. I think in the ESV it is. Broken ESV it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, Christine. I'll figure this out in just a second. I think I have an answer, but I want to make sure. Okay, tengo una respuesta, pero creo que the way of the Spirit. I think in the Spanish it is as well. It is in the Spanish as well. También es en español. The King James doesn't capitalize it. El Reino Valera no lo capitaliza, in English, King James no lo hace no lo hace mayúsculo. Let me look something up really quick, Christine, and I'll have you an answer. We're in Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. The word is solo pneumas in the Greek. Like I said, como dije, the capitalization is only in our English translations, not in the the capitalization is only in our English and Spanish translations. The capitalization solo está en nuestras traducciones de inglés y español. It's not in the Greek. No está en el griego. Because all of the letters in the Greek are capitalized. Porque todos los, all of the letters in the Greek are capitalized. Todos los cartas en, letras en el griego son mayúsculos. So it is a translation, but what I want to do is show you that I think they translated everywhere except there. Lo que quiero enseñar es que creo que lo hacen mayúsculo en todos los lugares excepto por ahí.
I gotta go.
Okay. So Christine, if you're listening, look at Romans 1. Mira Romanos 1:4. They don't put it in capital there, no lo ponen mayúsculo ahí. Or in verse 9, ni en versículo 9. Nor in verse 2:29, ni en versículo 2:29. Romanos 5:5. They translate Holy Ghost there. Lo traducen el Espíritu Santo ahí. But they capitalize it there. Lo hacen mayúsculo ahí. 7:6, they do not. 7:6, no lo hacen. 8:2, they do. 8:2, sí lo hacen. 8:4, they do. 8:4, lo hacen. 8:5, they do. 8:5, lo hacen. 8:6, they do not. 8:6, lo hacen. 8:9, they do. 8:9, lo hacen. 8:10, they do. 8:10, lo hacen. 8:11, 8:11. 8:13, 8:13. 8:14, 8:14. 8:15, they do not. They do. 8:15, and 8:15, lo hacen. 8:16, they do. 8:16, lo hacen. 8:23, they do. 8:26. 27. 9:1. 9:1. They just make a decision where to translate it or where to capitalize it and where not to. Solo hacen una decisión donde hacen mayúsculo y no. But it's not in the Greek. No es en el griego. They're making that interpretation for you. Ellos están haciendo esa interpretación para ti. And that's in all of our translation. Eso es en todas nuestras translaciones. Does that make sense, Ms. Christine? ¿Eso tiene sentido, Christine? So, for instance, the word pneumos is the Greek word. The palabra pneumos is the palabra in griego. Sometimes they translate it capitalized and other times they don't. Algunos lo traducen capitalizado y otras veces no. The ESV does every time it's not used for a sinful spirit. The ESV lo hace todas las veces que no está usado por un espíritu de maldad. But that in itself is a interpretation. That's the en sí mismo es una interpretación. Okay. Very good. Well, I hope that was helpful and not confusing. Espero que esto fue de ayuda y no confuso. I hope everyone has a great day. Espero que todos tengan buen día. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. Nos veremos el miércoles.